Blog Talk Radio.
Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. In the first four games are in the books, or at least most of them are in the books. One more game to go this evening. I believe it is the Los Angeles and San Francisco, I think. So that is going on. And then we'll have basically, each team will have three or four games in the book. And I got to tell you, I unfortunately didn't get a chance to watch a ton of games, a little bit on the first day and then off and on throughout the weekend. As I was given the holiday weekend, I was a little off doing some vacation stuff. But I will be back at it, watching tons of game and waiting for the minor league season to begin so I can get out and watch some minor league baseball. So that'll be happening here in Charlotte. I'll be going to some Knights games and then going up and seeing the Kannapolis team. And then by the end of the month, I'll be out in California at the Cali League. But it's going to be all Major League Baseball this week. And, you know, some teams got off great. I hope everybody's fantasy teams got off good. Matt Davidson was the star of opening day with those three home runs. A lot of goats. Yu Darvish with a yet another terrible outing, like sticking with the Cubs against the Marlins. Quintana looked terrible today. Gave up five runs in those five innings after not giving up a hit the first four innings. So talk to Tim about that, see if we should be worried there. But we're going to talk to Tim about just should we start to really worry this early in the season, or when do you start to worry? And, you know, he's got his waiver wire. We're going to go through that. I mean, how much do you spend on these guys? How much do you spend on Hunter Strickland? Is Mark Melancon going to be back? If I spend 25 to 30, 40% of my fab on Hunter Strickland and then Melancon comes back in 3 weeks, is that worth it? If I have Melancon as my closer, do I really go all in on Hunter Strickland? Or, you know, we've been thinking Hunter Strickland could be a closer and waiting for years, and then he kind of got it out of nowhere. I was thinking it was more Sam Dyson. Dyson had it at the end of last year. I was even thinking Tony Watson, and Hunter Strickland got the ball. How about that? The Giants won a couple of games against the Dodgers, beat Clayton Kershaw as Ty Black does that. Ty Black's always pitched pretty good against the Dodgers, which I found to be fairly interesting. So we're going to talk all about that. We're going to do two starts pitchers if we can get to it. Again, Tim's waiver wire and just a lot of stuff. So it's going to be a really fun show. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that via the Twitter, at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361. Of course, get the great Tim McLeod at Timothy LMC. If you want to go out and support our show, support our site, you can do that a bunch of different ways. You can go out on iTunes and rate and review us, and we'd love to do that. I think you can also do it on Stitcher and wherever else that we are pushed out to. Also, if you want to support us, you can go out to Prospect 361 and visit our sponsors. There on the right-hand side, we have three sponsors. We have StubHub. I'm about to purchase my tickets to that Bon Jovi concert here in a couple of weeks. I'll be clicking that on. And give me a little credit if you do that. Also, those MLB shops, I just got my flag in the mail when I got back, and I used that, got that 15% discount on purchasing MLB paraphernalia back from the MLB shops. You can use that. Of course, if you've got any collectibles, you can use the link for Steiner's Collectibles and also get a sizable discount on there. So we'd appreciate you doing that to support the show, support Tim and myself. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Good evening, Mr. McLeod.
Good evening, Mr. Wilson. How am I sounding tonight? I think I'm operating on a shaky Wi-Fi.
So far, you sound really good, Tim. So all is well. So we should talk fast.
What's that, Rich?
We should talk fast then.
Okay. Well, no, I'm okay with talking slow. Actually, I'm sitting back in a lazy chair with the feet kicked up, and I got my laptop on my laptop. I'm just mellowing right out here, Rich.
No, oh, very good. So where are you? Are you back in New York yet?
No, I'm in North Bay right now. Tomorrow I get the fun task of visiting an auto dealership first thing in the morning, Rich. Do you want to know why?
Oh, dear, I saw you had a flat tire, Tim. Or do you need a new car?
Well, no, it was only flat in the bottom. I got that one fixed, Rich.
That was very, by the way, very funny. So, and just as a aside before you tell us where you're going there, my wife requested a Facebook invite for you, and I know you accepted that. And, Tim,
right.
I might have screwed up. I said, Tim's really funny. She goes, oh, good, I like amusing people. I go, well, he's kind of funny in a stupid way. I was trying to explain the puns. So,
yeah.
So, Tim, I'm afraid she thinks you're a stand-up comedian. So you've got a lot to live up to. Sorry about that, pal.
Well, you know, Rich, I tried one of my favorite lines a couple times. They walked into a convenience store, and I said to the girl who's working there, I said, I noticed your sign says you're open 24 hours. And the girl said, yeah, we're open 24 hours. And I said, is that like all in one day? And all I got were blank looks.
Yeah, that's, yeah, people don't get it. But that's very funny, Tim. But I love Tim posted something on his Facebook account with a flat tire. He goes, it's not so bad. It's only flat on the bottom. I just stopped and started laughing. I don't even know why. I thought it was funny, Timmy. Well played.
Well, you know, you got to sort of laugh, but it wasn't really funny driving in a snowstorm from Barrie to North Bay, which is about 3 hours or so, with no fan motor, Rich. That
Ooh.
Is not good.
No.
No.
Does the car overheat if it doesn't have a fan?
No, what happens is, you know the air that circulates inside that keeps you warm when it's snowing out like it was on...
yeah, that fan. I got it.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, so it sort of worked sporadically, and when it didn't, I had to have both windows down, of course, so nothing would fog up. So me and the boys arrived in North Bay a little chilly, Rich. Now tomorrow morning,
so
I got to see if they'll rebuild it.
Oh, that is that's it's. I'm sorry, Tim, you're going through that, but very funny. Thinking of you out in the snowy conditions with the windows down. Very, very sorry, Timmy, but very funny. Thanks at least for making it funny.
Well, you know what? You got to laugh, Rich. There's no point in getting upset. It's not going to change anything. So, you know, I put on my best winter gloves and my hat and coat and bundled up, and off we went.
That's so funny. Well, good luck with that, Timmy. Let's talk baseball. You ready?
Yeah, I sure am ready, Rich. I've been a little neglectful while I've been on vacation, so I got to start picking up the pace here. You know, you'll be looking for a new co-host or something here.
Well, Timmy, I same thing. I was on vacation too, and after opening day, which I had my, you know, my hot dogs, really good hot dogs. Timmy had a fake blizzard, but I enjoyed the blizzard. And then I went off to the beach, and we were busy doing Eastery things at the beach, Easter egg hunt and Easter egg toss. Timmy only made it three rounds back and forth, Lori and I, and then crashed and burned. But we had a great time, but I didn't get a chance to watch many games.
Yeah, no, I've only seen a couple. The game in Montreal was fun. It was nice to finally get an opportunity to catch a game at the Big O, and unfortunately not the right game, but I'm sure I'll have plenty of opportunities to see Vladdy Jr. hit walk-off home runs in the future.
So, Timmy, let's talk about your fantasy team. So mine have gotten off okay. I don't have any bad blow-ups, and I'm doing okay. So my guys got off the side. It was a good pep talk I had on Thursday morning with them, and they responded.
Nice, Rich. Mine have responded reasonably well. So far, so good. I'm not at the bottom in any. I'm not at the top in any. But I haven't lost anybody, touch wood, to the DL. And more importantly, my ratios are still protected. And that sort of leaves me happy. I don't think Benintendi is going to go over the season, so I still have hope.
Yes, it's funny that you bring up the WHIP and the ratios from your pitching standpoint. That's the thing I worry about the most. And the only guy that really blew up on me was Yu Darvish. But, you know, I had the Steven Strasburg start in one of those leagues that I had Yu Darvish in. And, you know, I had some good outings. My buddy David Price, Tim, as we've got some steak and liquor bet going on that. By the way, Mitch Haniger, 2 home runs already, a steak and liquor bet on that. Again, I don't know against who. So some of my picks turned out well, but my ratios have been protected. And I agree with you. That first week of the season, at least first month of the season, that's what you hope, that you just don't have any pitcher that goes out and wets the bed.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I can handle starts like the Darvish start. That's not a big challenge. What I hate is looking at one of your relief pitchers who pitched 2/3 of an inning and allowed 5 runs. Now, that shatters a dream or two. And so far, touch wood, she's been good. I've got some nice performances from C-Shack and Michael Gibbons, and Edwin Diaz is off to a good start. So, yeah, I got no complaints, none.
So, before we talk about, you know, the helping everybody with their free kit, just one of the things I want to know, and I didn't put this in the notes, but it was just thinking to me, like, is there any surprises? And I mean, I can think of 2 teams that, I mean, the Cubs splitting with the Marlins, I thought that was a bit of a surprise. And the Giants, another awful team, winning the first 2 games against the Dodgers.
I really don't put a whole lot of stock into any of the early starts. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, like we're a total of 3 games into the season or 4 games into the season. I'm not overly concerned about anything. You know, things happen. That's why we play baseball, so we can watch Clayton Kershaw lose to Ty Block, right?
Yeah, but it brings up a point, Timmy. You've written a wonderful waiver wire that we're going to get into in a few minutes. Why pick up some of these guys? I mean, why do you? Because you're probably going to have to drop a player off your team. Why do that after you've drafted them all? I mean, why even worry about the waiver wire for the first month? I mean, why pick up these guys?
Well, because I own AJ Puck in 11 leagues, Rich.
Fair point. So, okay, you lost. Let's say in one of your other teams, Timmy, that you're pretty healthy. I mean, why go pick up Hunter Strickland? I mean, why go pick up some of these guys that you have in your waiver? I mean, when do you know to drop a player because there's another guy that's the shiny bobble out there that you want, or Mitch Haniger's on the waiver? Why do you keep hearing Wilson talk about it? You go, I got to go pick up Mitch Haniger. I mean, how do you know when to pick up a guy, and like particularly early on?
Well, usually, Rich, I find with my teams, there's one or two picks I made, spec picks that just aren't working out, and for one reason or another, let me see here. I own Yasmani Tomas in a couple leagues, okay? Bye-bye. Nice knowing you. Charlie Tilson, I love
him.
No.
Okay, but he's off your team.
yeah, but, you know, I think everybody has one or two players where it's an easy decision. And when it starts getting into tough decisions, it's all about playing time, at-bats, innings pitch. You know, hey, if you've got somebody like Hernan Perez who's going to get about 4 at-bats a week, if you drafted him, I would say it's a fairly easy decision to start making some of those cuts. And in a lot of the leagues I'm in, the drafts were back in February, so much has changed since then. Players that you believed would have value, simply for one reason or another, don't. So I usually don't have any problems at this time of the year with cutting one or two players for upgrade purposes.
So what if I got like a guy like Derek Fisher that you and I both like a lot? Mariznek has gotten off strong. He was a kid that hit, 16 home runs and 200-some-odd at-bats last year. Better defender than Derek Fisher in the outfield. Is he the guy that's going to get the primary, the playing time? And Derek Fisher should be a guy, if we've rostered him as one of our spec picks, should he be a guy that we're throwing out this week?
Well, I don't think the Houston Astros are going to be cutting Mr. Mariznek anytime soon, and he's off to a good start. Well, you know, he's got a couple home runs. I don't know if that's a good start. I think he's got 3 hits, 2 home runs, but Houston's going to wheel Mariznick out there, and the leash is very short on Fisher. Right now, if I was faced with that decision, I'd probably keep Mariznick over Fisher right now.
Yeah, I bring up a good point. I looked today, Mariznick 0-for-5, 4 strikeouts. Yikes. Derek Fisher only 1-for-4, and they're both, you know, batting below the Mendoza line. But, I mean, that's his competition for playing time. And, you know, but the upside is still there, though, Timmy. That's what I worry about. Like, and sometimes it's a judgment call if you really feel like one of the guys on your waiver wire is somebody that's going to be better than a suspect pick. I get A.J. Puck. That's an easy one. But you get the guys like Fisher that you think are these young kids that really have a chance, but you're not sure.
Well, yeah, and in Fisher's case, there's some extenuating circumstances. He's playing on a very, very good team that is, you know, in line to win another World Series, and that has a bearing on things as well. One of the players that I probably should have put in the waiver wire this week that I didn't is Jason Hayward. Simply, we know he's going to play. And outfield, especially in 15-team leagues, gets very, very thin. And even a player like Hayward is probably going to hold some value in those deeper leagues.
Yeah, but Timmy, he's not any good. I mean, I've owned him for years. It was my number one draft pick in a dynasty league. And I can't bear to drop him. In fact, I don't know how I did it. I eventually, after 4 years, I won that league last year, but I still have him. And he's my sixth or seventh outfielder if anybody gets hurt. I mean, there's no speed, there's no power, there's a .250 batting average. It's not good.
Did I mention that I own you as Manny Thomas in a couple leagues, Rich?
Yeah, you know, it's Yasmani Tomas could go the way of Ruzny could steal guys that make a ton of money. Now, granted, the Diamondbacks aren't near the threshold of the salary cap, but he becomes tough to trade because of the money there. And if you trade him to like the Yankees, or he can't go because he makes too much money. And I don't see him coming up at all, Timmy. I really don't. I think he's done.
Well, they waived him, Rich. He is done.
Well, yeah, but they'll move him to the minor leagues. Nobody's going to pick him up. I mean, he's not going to go back to Cuba, I doubt, right? Can he even go back to Cuba if you defect? I don't even know that. So he's still going to have, but I think he's going to be in the minor leagues all year. And I think in dynasty leagues, I don't know why you keep him.
Yeah, no, the only ones defecting back to Cuba are the Marlins players, Rich.
Yeah. Looking at Jason Hayward, Timmy, batting .286 so far this year, so that's not horrible.
Well, no, I think he's got 3-4 runs, a few RBIs. I said desperate times, you know, require desperate measures, and outfield is really, really thin. We've mentioned it numerous times. You might be looking at a Denard Span or a Jason Hayward as being a considerable upgrade, or Mariznick even. You got to do what you got to do, and anything is better than nothing early on.
So, Timmy, again, early on, I'm probing here, just looking for something. Is there anything, I know you didn't watch a ton of games, nor did I, but any stat line that you just went of a pitcher in particular that you just went, boy, I was worried about this, and now this has happened. I mean, it's just anything there that bothers you? Because there's one that bothers me, but I'm asking, is there one that bothers you?
Well, there's not too many that really bother me. I don't own any shares in John Lester, but he didn't get off to a real great start. I loved what I saw from Trevor Williams yesterday. Did you catch that line?
I did, and I see him in your waiver wire, so we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But what about – I'm going to say it, Timmy. I know you're going to tell me I'm crazy. Don't worry about it. I mean, you, Darvish, at what point are we going to get – this was the Marlins beat him up. When are we going to get worried here?
End of April. If he's got 4 or 5 starts in and they're all looking pretty much like this one – then my patience will start to get tried a little bit, but I'm not too concerned except where I see trends, you know, continuing from last year, extended trends, I'm not overly concerned. It's one start. It's the beginning of the year. There's a lot of baseball ahead.
Yep, and Tim is asking everybody to be patient. I'm actually taking the contrarian view and trying to push Tim to see if there's anything that we can wobble on. But as he always says, and he is right, it is not a sprint, Tim. It is a what?
It is a marathon, my friend.
And when we get back, we're going to talk waiver wire, Tim. Tim does a marvelous job at the waiver wire every week. Great names in here. A lot of people are not even publishing waiver wires yet. We did our first one last week, and I know a ton of people picked some of those players up, Timmy, and have already accomplished some things. But yeah, you've got Jermaine Marquez up first, but we're going to talk about the second guy on the list, and that is Hunter Strickland, Timmy. It is the talk of the town. Because we don't know when Mark Melanson's coming back. You say the interim label could be changed to permanent in relatively short order. So before I have you respond, let me just paint that we've been waiting for Hunter Strickland to kind of become Hunter Strickland. And he's always had that closer upside, but he's never performed. Plus, he's a little crazy, Timmy. He's done some things that have been questionable out on the mound. And I think you joked about it maybe in your waiver wire article last week. But he got the first two save opportunities. I thought it was going to seem same Dyson, but it wasn't. It was Hunter Strickland. He is not owned anywhere because nobody really saw this coming. How much of your fab do you throw out on this guy?
I would have no problems at 30%, Rich.
$1,000 fab budget. You're thinking $300. You'd have no problems with that. Does it go up if you own Mark Melanson?
I don't. So, but it was still. I strongly believe that Mark Melanson. There's some serious issues there. You know, he dealt with arm problems last year. He's starting off in the same fashion this year. I think when I look at a pitcher like Hunter Strickland, yeah, he can fail. He can struggle. But I think if he is successful, and we've seen him so far go 2-for-2 and save opportunities, I think it's a very, very good possibility, Rich, that he could end up with that job for a long time. And I'm willing to pay to take the chance because Mark Melanson really concerns me.
Definitely concerns me as well. The reason I ask if I'm a Mark Melanson owner and I invested in Mark Melanson, and let's say it's a 15-team league and I got two closers, at least I've got a handcuff now with a guy. So I think I'd do everything I could to make sure I got Hunter Strickland.
Well, yeah, you got to protect that asset. You know, the last thing you want is to be sitting with Mark Melanson and not having Hunter Strickland, have being forced to trade for him or just watching him amass saves while Melanson's on the DL and he returns. If he's not the Mark Melanson that we've come to know and love, it's just an ugly situation. Handcuff him right away.
Yeah, but you know, you think of Hunter Strickland, and we talked about Dominic Leone, and all of a sudden, the Cardinals on opening day sign Greg Holland, and all of a sudden that 250, I saw him going in our dynasty league, semi for 220, 250. So 25% of somebody's fab gone, Tim. He's probably going to be the closer for, 2 weeks, if that?
Yeah, quite possibly, unless it takes a while for Holland to get into game shape. And even if Holland, you know, I'm not expecting there to be any difficulties with Holland, but should there be, you got the number one guy sitting right there, I don't think it's a bad call. It was just a bad break, and sometimes it happens.
Jermaine Marquez, Timmy, you got him as your first guy, a Colorado rookie, a Colorado Rocky starter. Why would I even think about picking this guy up?
Because I cut him in one dynasty league. He's going to be successful, Rich. I know it.
You write in here 147 to 49, so it's a 3-1 strikeout to walk ratio in 2017. Has its charms, Timmy. That's not bad. And I know he pitches in half his games in Coors Field, but that's a really nice strikeout to walk ratio.
Yeah, I just think there's some potential there. I had a hard time cutting him.
Yeah.
It was a tough decision, but you know when you've only got a 7-man bench, tough decisions. And like I said, I think there's some potential there, and I think he's worth looking at.
Your next guy is oldie but goodie, and that's Homer Bailey. Has really not been the same pitcher since Tommy John surgery. Just has not recovered. Had a terrible spring training. Tim had terrible last year after return. And has that good outing against Washington. He looked very, very good against a very good Washington team, at least a Washington offense. And, you know, now you've got them out there 15% owned. How much would you be throwing down on Homer Bailey percent?
$3-4 on 100. 3-4%.
Okay. That's fair. I own Hunter Bailey. I have a couple of shares in Homer Bailey. In fact, one in my NFBC league. I was very pleased with that outing against Washington. So this is a kid that, Timmy, at one point was one of the better pitchers in the National League, if not all of baseball.
Yeah, you know, put a small bid out. Buy him cheap. Sit him on your bench for now. And if we see a second good start, activate him for the third. He was, like you said, a very, very good, bordering on elite starting pitcher. I believe he's got 2 no-hitters, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. I think you're right. Absolutely. Now we start to get in some guys that aren't owned this much. Andrew Knapp, which I love what you say. Is Knapp backing up Alfaro, or is it the other way around? Knapp has gotten a lot of the starts so far in that crazy Philadelphia situation, which we're going to talk about at length, Timmy, because what's going on there in the first handful of games is crazy, but why pick him up?
Well, I just think there's an opportunity to find yourself some cheap offense at catcher. I've always liked Andrew Knapp, and I think there's some potential with the bat. I think he's got a stolen base already, and let's face it, there's a few catchers that dropped. Zunino is one. I think Flowers. There's going to be some people shopping for catchers. So I'd be willing to put a few dollars down on Knapp just to see how it shakes down.
Yeah, Knapp is a guy I've always liked as well. Thought he would be more than he turned out to be, but maybe he's going to get the playing time. I still think Alfaro is the better talent, at least the better fantasy talent, but at this point, Tim, do we know what Gabe Kapler's? I mean, does he know what he's doing, and do we have any idea to try to figure out what he's doing?
There's a whole lot of questions with very few answers, Rich.
I know. Timmy, I know we're going to talk about it. I have to ask, have you ever seen a guy go out to the mound, a manager go out to the mound, and say, well, you're stinking up the joint, I'm going to take you out, and call for the bullpen, the guy coming from, and forget to have started a guy to warm up? I've never seen that before.
It's a rather unique approach to the game. I'm sure Rob Manfred has got it on his list of things to do that could possibly speed up the game.
Yeah, the whole thing, then it was like, well, why let the guy warm up? And, you know, they were going to potentially challenge the game. They wound up, you know, the Phillies wound up losing that game. But Atlanta won the game. What a mess, Timmy. I know he's a brand new manager, but how can you make that mistake? I don't even know how you do that.
Yeah, you know, you would think that it's required reading that all managers pick up Managing for Dummies, Rich, okay? Your local bookstore, okay, and at least look at the pictures if you don't read the whole thing, right?
Yeah, you would think somebody like a coach would have said, hey, we don't have anybody up, why are you going out to, I mean, just like, well, it's out of control there. We're going to talk more in detail about that because there's too much going on there. Nick Ahmed, Tim, out in Arizona, 5-for-11 with a home run, 6 RBIs. He's a defensive guy, but he's getting some playing time. And even though Ketel Marte actually signed the deal, Ahmed's starting to get some playing time.
Yeah, he's playing at short, and I believe Marte has moved over to second now. So, you know, he missed that full year. I've always sort of liked him, especially the D, and he's off to a hot start. If you've got room, grab him, run with the hot start.
Jake Marisnik owned 4%. We've already talked about Jake Marisnik. You would rather own Marisnik over Fisher at this point?
I would, because I think Houston's going to give him the majority of the at-bats. As much as I was hoping that they would give Fisher the shot, I just have my druthers. And Marisnik's a veteran on a veteran team. The more I think about it, the more I think that he's gonna get more than his fair share of at-bats this year, Rich.
Yeah, he's an elite defender as well. But I don't know what they're going to do with Fisher. I have a share of him, Tim, in a dynasty league, and I'm not sure what to do with him. I mean, I want to hold on to him because the potential, the speed, power potential is there. But I mean, Lunau and AJ Hinch have come out and you know they're telling all these guys, look, you might start in other organizations, but here you're a bench player or you're in the minor leagues waiting for. You know, that chance to play when somebody gets injured for fantasy owners. I mean, that's a bad, bad position to be in.
Yes. Let's hope the scenario isn't the same as it is for AJ Reed. How's that?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Lucas Duda, Timmy, well known about him, 30 home runs twice in the past 4 years. I'm surprised he's only 18% owned.
Well, no, he's in Kauffman, and that's you know that will zap your power a fair bit. But I still think Dudok can hit 25 homers, and you know he's sitting there 18% owned. If you're looking for corner infield help, hey, why not?
Trevor Williams gets a start. Tim does very very well. And I was hoping he wouldn't, so Tyler Glasnow would get a chance, but you've got him on the list.
Yeah, I bought him all over the place. I think I own him in every dynasty league I'm in, Rich. I just like the potential there, and I was ecstatic with that first outing. Hey, the walks are going to be a concern, but I think there's some potential there, so... I think he's worth a small bid and see how things shake down.
Tyler Austin is your next guy. Timmy, this is a tough one. Austin, when he was in low A, you know, was considered a better prospect than Aaron Judge. So he just blew up. And then somewhere along the way, Aaron Judge kind of blew past him. And part of the reason he blew past him is Tyler Austin could never stay healthy. He was hurt all the time. And now he gets his chance with Bird being hurt, who seems to be hurt all the time. Hits two home runs in one game. Neil Walker, though, was there. Help me sort this out, Timmy.
Well, it could very well be a job share, but I just think Austin is a better player. And I think those skills are going to surface. And when in doubt, I will go with Tyler Austin ahead of Neil Walker in this situation and just hope that what we saw in his debut continues moving forward.
Matt Barnes, Tim, why on earth would I want Matt Barnes when Joe Kelly got the save today? Craig Kimbrell's eventually going to be the guy after he's kind of in full gear. I mean, why have Matt Barnes?
Well, because Carson Smith and Joe Kelly have been getting roughed up a little bit, and you know, you look at that bullpen, and they've got arguably the best closer in baseball, and then they got nothing between the starter and Kimbrell, or very very little. Like Carson Smith has been shaky, Kelly's been shaky. If you're in a league that counts holds, hey, go grab Matt Barnes. I think he's a good, solid pick, and I think he's going to get plenty of opportunities in the seventh, eighth inning this year, Rich. I'm just not comfortable. The Red Sox have got a very good team, but that bullpen, there's some question marks and concerns happening right now.
Yeah, there is, Timmy. For sure. And, you know, I was surprised maybe potentially I was looking for them to sign Greg Holland. But, I mean, Holland goes somewhere else, and we'll see how he makes out with Cardinals. The next guy is Carlos Tokey. I remember seeing him, Timmy, in Lakewood for years in the Philadelphia Phillies organization. And I was looking, he was there for three seasons. So I saw a ton of him. Always loved the player. A little bit of speed, not a whole lot of pop, though. Makes great contact. He gets the job because the liner to Shields breaks a Hammett bone. And Timmy, with that, a lot of fantasy owners went, ugh, because they were looking for speed from the liner to Shields Jr.
Yes, and they're not going to be getting it for, well, probably 2 months, Rich. I don't know what Texas is going to do, but they've, you know, Tochi's a Rule 5 player. He's young. Defensively, I think he can handle it. But what does Texas do? They don't really have anybody in their organization that can move into center, unless they put Mazzaro in center and Ryan Rua, it's a bit of a mess. Unless Texas goes outside of the organization, this kid might get some at-bats, might get you some stolen bases in AL only.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good call. I mean, they are talking about Ryan Rua getting most of the at-bats there. But, I mean, he's not a center fielder, so that, you're right. That means Mazzara has to go to center field. Timmy, and at 6 foot six, that's not a center fielder.
No, it isn't. And, you know, I've heard a couple people say, well, hey, Willie Calhoun's on his way back. But, you know, Willie Calhoun was sent down because of his defensive part of his game. I don't think they're going to bring Willie Calhoun back up if the purpose for him going to AAA was to improve his defense. Bringing him back up isn't going to change anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's a left fielder, so you still have the same problem. So, you know, who plays? It's a bit of a mess. I still think Willie Calhoun will make it to the major leagues and soon, because the bat is for real, and I think they'll figure it out. Then again, Yasmani Tomas, I mean, besides him being lazy, words that I've heard from many organizations and many scouts, but the other part is he couldn't play defense. And at some point, Timmy, defense does count. And, I mean, you've really, really got to be able to hit for teams to overlook that. And even sometimes 30 home runs or 26 or whatever Tomas hit didn't give him a full-time job in Major League Baseball.
Well, I know. I watched Kyle Schwarber have fun this week on a couple plays.
It was brutal.
At some point in time, Rich, he has to end up in the AL. He has to.
Yep. And I know they love him, right, because they keep throwing him out there. And I know they love the bat, but I saw that opening. It was the game that was on MLB Network, and that's the game I was watching, having my hot dog, Timmy, and it was bad. I mean, the ball rolled under his glove, and he just misplayed a second ball. It was bad.
Yeah, he's not a very good out. At some point in time, unless he's hitting 50 home runs and driving in 130, he's a DH in waiting, and it's only a matter of time, Rich. Only a matter of time.
On the fourth day of the season, Miguel Andujar makes the list, Tim, and there's the potential there for this guy to be a very special fantasy baseball player. He's got to get the opportunity. They brought him up. Now, multiple injuries in the Yankee organization. Does this guy get any playing time, though?
I think it's going to be limited, but the big but is, if he does show something in his limited opportunities, he could end up sticking. And I think it's worth the gamble to spend some of your fab in the event that he, in fact, could possibly stick. So that's why I've included him. All he needs to do is get hot for a game or two, and things can change very quickly, can't they?
They surely can. I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I just don't know. I mean, the kid can play. you know, getting hot for a couple of games, it can, that's hit or miss to me. It's, that's the luck of the draw sometimes. I mean, Drury hit a home run, I think, today. Gleyber Torres, you know, is going to be up soon. I mean, we've talked about it. And a lot of people love Tyler Wade in that mix as well. So he's got some speed. So it's by no means guaranteed, but the kid's got some serious talent. So if you're betting on the talent, then he's a guy that you should be putting a buck or two down on.
Well, yeah, the worst that's going to happen is 2 weeks from now, he's back at AAA. I'm willing to take that chance.
Timmy, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're just going to stop some news and notes and talk about the Phillies. So a lot of things we've already done through Tim's waiver wire, but I decided to reverse it just to see how it worked, Timmy, and I'm not sure I like it because all the notes I wrote down, you stole all the thunder in your waiver wire. We've already talked about a lot of it, but let's do a deep dive on Greg Holland. From a pure baseball standpoint, what did you think of the signing?
I think it's a good signing. It's a 1-year deal. You know, it gives Holland the opportunity to go back into free agency next year. And if he does have himself a good year, it should improve the odds of him signing more than just a one-year deal. So, no, it's good for the Cards. It's everybody's a winner except Luke Gregerson and Mr. Leon, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's – I mean – If I'm Greg Holland, Timmy, I am switching agents. I'm sorry. You know, I think Scott Barr screwed him over last year in the crazy deal that he signed with the Colorado Rockies. He turned down a $17+ million 1-year deal to stay with the Rockies and try to go out on the free agent, and they overplayed his hand. And now he's making $3 million, more than $3 million less than he did last year. I don't know what's going on. I mean, Timmy, I mean, like, at what point do you say, look, you're not representing me very well? He's going to be 32 next year, and his year to sign the big contract was not this season. It was last season. And I think Scott Boras has really put him in a tough bind. He has even a difficult season, Timmy. It's really going to be tough for him.
Well, yeah, he's definitely got to produce this year. But then again, there's a third baseman in Kansas City that I think took it on the chin.
For sure, to me. Nobody took it more worse than Mike Moustakas. But, I mean, don't you think that Scott Boras has got to do a little soul searching? Something ain't working, guys.
Well, you know what? I know if I was... if he was my agent, I'd be looking for another one. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's nice that it didn't work out, and I know you're sorry, and, you know, we'll do better next time, but, like, where's the $11 million? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you're Bryce Harper, I mean, he's going to deliver for Bryce Harper because it's Bryce Harper, but, Jake Arrieta, I mean, it wasn't there. I mean, it just did not work out this season. And he had all the guys. He had all of the big free agents. Alex Cobb, who was not his guy, got a pretty good deal. And some of his guys did not.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a very, very tough off season. But some people did okay. Like, I think Carlos Santana, I think he's relatively happy with his deal at Philly.
Yep, I agree. Now, Eric Hosmer got a great deal, but, you know, nobody else did, and none of the Bars clients did. And to me, it'll be interesting to see. Well, I guess Jose Altuve got a great deal. He's a Bars client. But, so some of them worked out. It seems like the big superstars worked out, but some of the next second, third tier down just are not, and I think he's going to have to change his approach.
Yeah, if you can't get a good deal for Jose Altuve, there's some serious issues.
Yeah, right. So tell me what kind of year do you see from Holland? Give me over under 30 saves.
He's going to be ready 5 months. I could see. I could see low 30s. He's going to miss basically a month, from what I can gather. So, you know, miss the two, three weeks, a month. Yeah, I could see. I could see plus 30.
Yeah, I think so too. I think part of it, Timmy, because I owned the many shares in Greg Howell last year, and I was, as you know, I was on these very airwaves screaming at the Rockies to slow this guy down in the first half because he had almost 20 saves by the All-Star break. And you just saw this. You could just smell it, Timmy, that this was going to be a tough second half because he just burned his bullets up. And it was like, just I'll take two or three less saves in the first half of the year to get 10 more in the second half.
You mean you don't want him pitching in 10 consecutive days in a row, Rich?
Go back, everybody. Tim is right. Go back and take a look at – he was pitching like 4 days, taking a day off, and then another 4 days. It was insane. And he loved it as a fantasy owner because those 8 outings, he had 8 saves. And it was like, hey, look at me. And you just knew it was going to end poorly, and it did.
Well, yeah. You like a guy like that a lot more in a redraft league than you do in a dynasty, don't you?
Yeah, or even like a rotisserie league, you don't like him as much because he, you know, or I, maybe I should say a head-to-head league because when it got down to the playoffs, he wasn't that good.
Well, no, there was, by the time September rolled around, it was a full year, but I don't think with the depth of the bullpen in St. Louis, I don't envision a repeat of that in 2018.
I saw Keanu Kelly, in the Arizona Fall League, I'm going to say 4 years ago, and he lit up my radar gun at 101. And he's not quite hitting triple digits anymore, but it's upper 90s. I was surprised when he got the closer gig in Texas. He's still out there a little bit, Timmy. Does he keep it?
Well, you know, he's got the closer gig, but I don't think he's had a save opportunity yet. It's sort of interesting because the guy that was favored to break camp with the job was Claudio, a relatively soft tosser. He's got the job. He has no save opportunities as of yet. If I own Claudio, I wouldn't be cutting him. I wouldn't be cutting him until we see a couple saves under Mr. Keeler's belt.
Yeah, agreed there, Timmy. Matt Davidson, the amount of Twitter questions I got on Thursday evening, I simply have to ask, Matt Davidson, over under 300 home runs this year?
Well, I'll take the over, Rich. No
Me too.
Liquor.
I absolutely agree. I think 375, four, maybe 400 home runs. Tim, he hasn't hit one since. At least I don't know what he did today, but, a great debut. We talked about this guy during the offseason, and he wasn't getting drafted at all, and suggested people take a flyer on this guy, and the power's there. There's rumors of him changing his swing around. Another guy who's let me have you answer. What do you think about Matt Davidson?
I think he got 30 home runs and a .230 batting average. That's Matt Davidson.
Yep, agreed. Yeah. So how many at-bats, though? Full time?
Full season. Yeah, if he stays healthy, 550, 600.
Another guy who supposedly changed his swing around this year, and remember we talked last, it was the start of the, I think it was Thursday's broadcast, where I talked about reading the article about J.D. Martinez and how he changed his swing around, and it made him the $110 million guy, and he brought his hitting instructor to Boston, and one of the guys who apparently has changed his swing mechanics, Tim, is Xander Bogaerts, who's off to a strong start. So maybe Xander Bogaerts finally starts to come into some of that power we all thought the bat speed that he had would match. So just an FYI there.
Yeah, it would be very, very interesting if what Bogaerts is doing early on is sustainable. I don't believe it is. I think Bogaerts at best is a 20 home run type, but only time will tell. We'll see the impact of that by the end of April, early May for sure.
Well, it's definitely been reported in spring training. I did not bring it up, but that he has definitely changed his swing pattern, and the early. It could be just a very, very small sample size, but at least there's potentially a reason for that. Timmy, Trey Turner batting sixth as an owner of Trey Turner in two leagues. I'm not a happy camper. I know he got a stolen base today. I want him in that leadoff position with Matt Eaton batting two, but Matt Eaton's going 4 for 5. That's not going to happen. Talk me off a ledge here, Tim.
Stole a base today, Rich. He's still going to steal 50 bases. It'll have an impact on the runs scored, but he's going to hit ZP. He might actually end up with more RBIs batting out of the sixth spot. I'm not overly concerned as long as he's running on a regular basis, and I believe he will be.
I hope you're right, Timmy, because I'm not happy about that. He does in daily fantasy formats. He definitely takes a hit there because you want guys that are batting in the top 2, 3, 4 at the worst. Because the number of bats going to go down. So you're right, those counting stats, those runs scored are going to go down. I hope the stolen bases stay where they are. I've never been a huge fan of Adam Eaton. I think he's a 15-15 guy with decent on-base percentage. He's a number two hitter, not a number one hitter. Please put Trey Turner back at the leadoff position. I beg the Nationals to do that.
Until Eaton slows down, that ain't going to be happening. But is Adam Eaton going to continue to tear for an extended period? I think we'll see Trey Turner back in the leadoff spot before the end of May, Rich.
I hope you're right, Timmy. Ian Kinsler hits the DL, Tim, and fantasy owners aren't happy about that near the Angels. They bring up ex-Astro Nolan Fontana. Any interest there?
No, I have no interest in Kinsler or Fontana.
All right, let's move back. The one guy that I mentioned that you didn't put in your waiver wire in the Yankee organization is Tyler Wade. Any interest in Tyler Wade?
I'd rather go with the power out of Boston. There's only so many backup Yankees any one human being should have on their team, even if you're a diehard Yankee fan. That's one too many for me.
How worried are you about Billy Hamilton? Tim, he batted ninth on opening day. He didn't play at all on Saturday. It's probably justified given he's almost a sub-300 on-base percentage. I mean, at some point, the modern game says those guys don't bat leadoff. And if he's batting ninth, I know Trey Turner, you're not too worried about him getting the stolen bases. How many stolen bases is Billy Hamilton going to get batting ninth?
He's gonna run anytime he's on base, so I don't see it. Other than the fact that he'll lose at bats, I don't think as long as he plays every day, he's still gonna steal his 50-60 bases. That's what he does. And I'm really not worried at all about Billy Hamilton because I don't own him in any of my however many leagues I'm in, which I still haven't figured out yet.
I own him in one league, and I'm very disappointed I drafted him there. It's an on-base percentage league, and I did not do the math correctly. I've put him out on the trading block. I mean, literally, people gave me a bag of balls for him. I mean, it's tough, and I'd rather hold on to him, but I don't know if I'm going to start the guy. I mean, batting that low, I disagree. I think the stolen base opportunities are going to be reduced. Obviously, the amount of at-bats are going to be reduced, and a lot of his stolen bases just come from just sheer volume of what he had out there. And I think he's going to lose playing time, particularly if some of these kids in Cincinnati Reds have a very strong minor league system. I'm worried that this is the beginning of the end for Billy Hamilton.
Well, he's a one-trick pony, and part of the trick's already disappeared, Rich. So, you know, he's simply does not get on base enough to warrant being even with his speed. You got to get to first base before you can steal second, and he just doesn't have the advanced on-base skills that you need to be sitting in that leadoff spot. So, what do you do? For our game, what he does is wonderful. For the real game, not so much, and the Cincinnati Reds are not really interested in the fantasy game, are they?
Yeah, it's true, and Major League Baseball has not been kind to Billy Hamilton of the world. Juan Pierre had a very long career, but most of those guys have not. To me, they've had a couple of good seasons, and they wind up being fourth outfielders because it's just not strong enough to barrel up the ball. And, you know, once that speed goes, which it will, even the great Billy Hamilton, the speed will go, and then he's nothing. I mean, he'll be out of baseball. But before then, if you can't get on base, you're a defensive replacement, you're a late-inning defensive replacement, or you're fourth outfielder, and that's where it's going for Billy Hamilton. You can see it. You can see it all lining up.
Yeah, you're a Jared Dyson or a Roger Davis, right? And
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
Roger Davis at 36 years old, Timmy, still has a job. Billy Hamilton at 36 years old will still have a job. But from a fantasy standpoint, it's going to come in spurts when he gets full-time playing time because somebody's injured.
Well, yeah, and more often than not, those three stolen base games will be on your bench, right?
Yep, exactly. Timmy, let's talk about the thing I want to get your opinion on, and because you brought them up on Thursday. The Phillies were your team. I mean, you went all in. In fact, you got them going to the World Series. And as soon as I heard what happened, I did not see it, went back and read all the analysis of that opening game where Aaron Nola, 68 pitches, mowing them down, and Freddie Freeman coming back up, and he says, you know, I don't like the statistics say third time through the game, Freddie Freeman will have his numbers, and took him out of the game, Timmy. And he just got crucified in the media. And the worst thing is he didn't back down at all. It bothered me greatly.
68 pitches? You know, that's he's a rookie manager, and we saw his skills on display, right?
And it's not good, Timmy. I mean, again, I'm sure he's a smart guy, but he managed in the minor leagues. It almost felt like he was trying to be too cute, too smart. Look, I'm the smart guy here, and I've heard him talk about some of the statistics, and he's talking like fantasy baseball statistics, and I know because I spent a lot of time in the Major League Baseball teams. They have stats, Timmy, that you and I don't even know about. I mean, and just like really detailed stats. He's talking about run creation and crap like that. Major League Baseball teams aren't using those. Those are fan based statistics. They're using deeper kinds of things. So you can almost argue he doesn't know what he's talking about. And if that's how he's going to manage a team, I mean, you got serious problems if you think they're going to make it to the World Series.
Well, they still could make it to the World Series. He might just not be guiding them, Rick.
Fair point, Timmy. And hey, Joe Girardi, last I looked, won a World Series, maybe two. Was a very successful manager. I know he's managed the year a couple of times. He don't have a job, so... If they're bringing in Jake Arrieta, they're bringing in Carlos Santana, they have to believe they're pretty close. And I think the leash on Gabe Kapler is going to be very, very short.
Well, if he pulls Nola after 68, 70 pitches in his next outing, somebody might have a conversation with him inside the organization. Just a guess, you know what I mean? You know, I can see 90 pitches, but 68, unless Nola was hurting, why do you take it? Why do you take
him
out?
He said because the stats said that Freddie Freeman would hit him, and that's why he took him out.
Well, yeah. So when Jake Arrieta makes his debut, and he comes up against a guy in the third inning that's terrorized him and given him fits for years, is Gabe Kapler going to pull Arrieta in the third inning?
That's what you're worried about, Timmy. I mean, it's those types of calls. I mean, Hector Neris blew the game for him, but I mean, he used his bullpen very strangely. He took out Hoskins in the sixth inning, batted for him, basically pulled him for defensive purposes, which you begin to argue, maybe you blame the general manager for that. I mean, why sign Carlos Santana when Rhys Hoskins is a first baseman? He is not an outfielder. And maybe you take, quote unquote, your best offensive player, and you put him in a place that you're going to have to substitute him in late innings. I mean, I didn't like that move at all.
Well, no, because what's going to happen if your bullpen coughs up the lead, then you've got one of your best bats sitting on the bench spectating, right?
Yep, exactly. So that's a bad move by the general manager, and I, you know, I don't blame Kapler for getting his hands tied there, but back to him, it was a rough first four games. I don't know what he did today, but Timmy, I've lived in the Northeast long enough. There's three cities that you cannot screw around with because you will get just brutalized by the media and brutalized by the fans. That's Boston, New York, and it might be the worst in Philadelphia. They booed Santa Claus, Timmy. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, wasn't it common knowledge that batteries on the field, the fans throwing batteries years ago. Yeah, but Philadelphia, it's not a real friendly place when the fans get a little upset, right?
They're very passionate about their teams, and I mean, you picked them to go potentially to the World Series. It's a really good, it's a good young team, and I think they have a chance to really do something. And again, it's only a week, it's only four games, but you know, show at least he took ownership of this stupid thing where he went out to the mound yesterday and took out Vince Velasquez. VV was pitched brutally and didn't have anybody. At least he took ownership. That's on me. But man, he's got to turn it around quickly because you can't have managers losing games for you.
Well, no, and that area is signing, I think, up the ante a little bit.
Yeah, you know, agreed.
Yeah, there's no doubt there. Andrew McQuiston posted something that I thought was absolutely fascinating that I wanted to share with our listeners and you, Rich, and get your thoughts. Do you mind if I run through this with you? Or?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Fewer pitchers were used in the entire 1968 season than the 289 used so far in 2018. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. I'm assuming it's well researched. That's almost unbelievable.
Yes, we have used and seen more pitchers in 2018 already than the entire 1968 season.
Wow. I mean, we're talking starting pitchers or all pitchers?
All pitchers.
That seems crazy to me because you figure you've got each team. And so let's just do the math real quick. I mean, let's say back in 68, you had 10 pitchers on a team. I mean, that's 300 pitchers, right? I mean, that 268, I don't even understand how that's possible. Maybe Andrew McQuiston didn't he come on once and he didn't have enough time on his cell phone or something? Was that him?
No, I think that was somebody else.
Andrew, I know he listens. So Andrew, come on next week. Let's dig down through this stack because I'm having trouble reconciling it, Timmy.
Well, you had four-man rotations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you had relief pitchers. You had relief pitchers.
Yeah, they didn't pitch much though. Not when you look at the number of complete games.
Yeah, I don't know, Tim. I get the broader point is,
right.
Look, we're using tons of pitchers now, but that seems like an almost unbelievable stats. So I need to see, Andrew, need to see a little bit more. You have my please come on next week, talk, and we'll throw out the number, and let's talk about that. Tell me a little bit more, because I'm finding it hard to fathom, Tim.
Okay, well, hey, challenges out there, Andrew. Now that I've set you up for this, try not to leave me forever and ever when you're on next week, my friend.
Well, I mean, Timmy, I mean, we have 10,000, 15,000 people listening to it. They're all going, what? So we need to have an uncovering of these stats. I'm sure Andrew's a smart guy, right? Because I know him. So I'm sure it's true, but we need to have a little bit more in depth on this one, just because that seems almost unfathomable.
I mean, that was my first thought too, but well, we'll find out next week, and I'm sure he'll take us up on the challenge.
All right, Timmy, we get back. We're going to do two-star pitchers and get out of here.
Sounds good, my friend.
Isn't it awesome to have games to talk about, Tim?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've got another week or two on the road, and then I'm going to, when I get home, I think I'm going to spend the first week sitting in my shorts watching
TMI,
baseball.
TMI, Tim.
Like, I may not even take a shower for a couple of days.
I'm just going to sit there,
with my cheering Coke watching baseball.
I just want to say, Timmy, the image that everybody has is your tidy whities for a week watching baseball without showering or shaving. That's what all of the world has that image of.
So what you're saying is the prospects of me dating in the immediate future are probably pretty slim, huh?
It's non-existent, Timmy. So, and please, let's not have any pictures of that. Okay,
no pictures. No, definitely not.
All right, Timmy, I'm looking at these two-star pictures. I just copied and pasted from directly from CBS because I don't see a one in here I want. But here we go. Chris Tillman started in 2% of CBS League at Houston and Charlie Morton. Actually, I don't have the second start here. I apologize that there, but I'll have to bring up the site and see that. There must be another start in there, Timmy. But even at Houston, you don't want Chris Tillman, do you?
No, I don't want him in the second start. I don't care who it is, Rich. I'll pass on that. I don't want any Orioles starters. Their best starter of the lot is obviously Bundy, but Grossman, not good, is it?
No, it's not. His second start, Timmy, at New York and Sonny Gray.
Oh, there's a real treat, yeah. Start them in reverse leagues, and you'll be fine.
Chad Bettis, Timmy, with your Colorado Rockies. I know you're big on Colorado Rockies, and this is interesting. Chad Bettis started in 3% of CBS leagues at San Diego and Brian Mitchell at home against Atlanta and Sean Newcomb. A little interesting there.
Yeah, we got to start one of these guys. I'll give Bettis a whirl.
Okay, I think I will as well. I'm looking at J.C. Ramirez, and it looks like he's not going to start, so I'm not even going to go over that one. Ben Lively, Timmy, with your Philadelphia Phillies at the Mets and Matt Harvey, which, well, that seems pretty enticing because Matt Harvey can't pitch anymore, at home against the Miami Marlins in Despaña. So, interesting. Mets off to a very strong start at home. It's probably their home opener. I believe the Mets started out on the road. That's a tough call. And then home against the pathetic Miami Marlins, who split with the Cubs, though.
Yeah, the problem I have with starting Ben Lively, Rich, is that we know he's only going to be in for 68 or less pitches. He won't get enough in for the win, so why bother?
Very, very well played. So let's go down to Mike Wright, Tim, with Baltimore. It's the same problem that that Chris Tillman has at Houston and Justin Verlander. That might be their home. No, the Charlie Morton game's their home opener. And then at the Yankees and Jordan Montgomery, you like the matchup against Jordan Montgomery, but Mike Wright at Houston and at New York. Ugh.
Yeah, the right stuff is wrong.
The last guy is Bartolo Colon. Bartolo Colon at Oakland and Andrew Tiggs and versus Toronto and Marcus Stroman. Timmy, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know Bartolo Colon actually made the Texas Rangers team. How old is he?
How old is the rest of the Texas rotation?
Let's see. He is I'm looking 45. I just clicked on this. He's 45 years old. Good for him. And well done, Bartolo Colon. Still having a job, still playing baseball and getting paid for it at 45 years old. Timmy, do you start him?
I think I'll pass. I'm very content to go with Chad Bettis and Chad Bettis alone from that crew, Rich.
I think that's a good call. Again, and I think what we talked about at the beginning of the show, if you're in a rotisserie league, try to protect those those ratios early in the season, mm-hmm. because I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Once you get buried in those, Timmy, it's demoralizing trying to crawl out of that hole. It's better to start off strong and then take chances as you get into the season. Then you know a little bit what these guys are doing. So don't be starting Bartolo Colon. I mean, he might pitch well, and for God's sake, don't start an Oriole going up against at Houston and at New York. That's asking for trouble.
Oh yeah, that's beyond asking for trouble. You're guaranteed, I think, to get trouble there, Rich. Yeah, I've got several leagues where I'm actually going with only four starting pitchers right now and five relief pitchers, of which in one case four of them aren't closers, but they're solid, proven relief pitchers, and I just don't want to it would have been nice to have Trevor Williams start yesterday in several leagues, but I wanted to see a little bit something before I had him activated, and I'm okay with missing that opportunity, knowing that I've got, Michael Givens or Kirby Yates, that where the odds of damage are fairly slim. So, if I have to change my mix for the first 2 weeks of the season to get a better feel of some of these starting pitchers, I'm just going to do it rather than watching at the end of April a 6.50 ERA and a 1.6 WHIP. No, I don't want that at all.
Yeah, a couple guys that are started a lot. I just want to get your opinion on them as I looked at this list. Matt Harvey, 53% started. Again, home at Ben Lively and at Washington at Tanner Roark. You don't like the Washington matchup, no matter who's pitching at it. But, I mean, can you really start Matt Harvey, given the philosophy we just talked about?
I can't, no. Actually, of all the pitchers that we just discussed with the two-star pitchers, I'd be very reluctant to start even Chad Bettis if I had the right relief pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. Let me give you another name, Timmy. Started in 79% of leagues, Cole Hamels at Oakland and home versus Toronto. He didn't pitch that well the first his first go-around. I mean, he was not the same pitcher that he was last year. You two-star pitchers, and you love those, particularly in rotisserie leagues, particularly in weekly leagues. But I mean, do you trust Cole Hamels? Do you trust him that 8 out of 10 fantasy owners are starting him?
Yeah, I would. I would up against those two teams. Oakland is not exactly an offensive juggernaut, and Toronto can potentially do some damage, but again, they're not now either. So yeah, I'd feel fairly comfortable with Hamels up against those two matchups.
Here's another one. Ronaldo Lopez, young rookie flamethrower, 17% started at Toronto and home against Detroit and with Francisco Liriano. What do you think about Ronaldo Lopez?
I don't think Detroit's going to score a pile of runs this year. The Toronto game concerns me a bit, but not so much Detroit. It would depend on the rest of my rotation and how many innings I was putting together. But that one I'd be sitting on the fence probably until the last minute.
It's interesting. I just looked at caught up with the Giant-Dodgers game. I mean, 1-0 Dodgers up. I think they've all been shutouts, right?
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of offense, that's for sure.
No, there really hasn't. It is remarkable, but because I know that San Francisco won the first couple of games, and I think last night the Dodgers shut them out. So it's fascinating what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, Maeda threw a gem. I think he had 10 strikeouts, his MLB high. I was sort of hoping to see him in the bullpen, but after that first start, maybe the rotation's the right place. There'll still be time for Walker Buehler to get his starts in this year.
Absolutely. Timmy, that's a wrap, man. Great show. It's fun to get off the side here with these games. And, I'm going to be more on it this week. I will have a little bit more insight come our show next Sunday. What have you got going on this week?
This week I'm assuming I get my fan motor fixed tomorrow. Last week was Montreal and Southern Ontario, and this week is New York City for 3-4 days, and then London, Ontario, And then I'm working my way home the following week and should get home, Thursday of next week, Rich.
Thursday of next week. So where will we talk to you on Sunday?
On Sunday, I will be in London, Ontario.
Okay. Well, very, very good, Timmy. Safe travels, and everybody, good luck with your fantasy teams. And if you need anything, you can hit us up on Twitter at RichWilsonP361 and at TimothyLMC. Timmy, be well.
Be well, my friend. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Okay.